Well, good morning, and again, happy Mother's Day to all of the moms that are here with us today. We are so incredibly thankful for you guys, and I have to say the kids in the video earlier absolutely nailed it, right? We love our moms for a variety of reasons, and like that one little boy said, if she can make good eggs, it's a game changer, right? Way to go, moms. We love you guys, and we're thankful for you, and you just saw on the screen right now that today we're starting a new teaching series here on Sunday mornings that's focused on relationships. We've just gone through the book of Acts, and we have very clearly seen that God made each and every person alive on the planet for relationships. He made us to be in relationship. He made us to grow in relationship, to have our relationships with one another cultivated in a God-honoring way. And here's the thing, we can't escape relationship in our life. We got them with so many different people, and we're going to see over the course of this series that God's word is not silent or quiet when it comes to relationship. God absolutely speaks, and we're going to see that in his word as we plow through this the next several weeks. And with today being Mother's Day, it's only fitting that we start with our relationship with our mom. And I want to acknowledge this up front, that as we celebrate moms today, as we make a big deal about moms, and we absolutely will, and we absolutely should, I do understand that today is a tough day for some. That today is a tough day for some that have lost their mom. Or maybe for those that might have a strained relationship with their mom, or for moms that maybe have a strained relationship with their kids. I know that Mother's Day can be a tough day for those that desire to be moms but are found in that place of waiting right now. This morning, if you fall into one of those categories, I just want you to know that we love you, that your church family loves you. And this morning, as we look in God's Word, and I want you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1. This morning, as we look in God's Word in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to see some of that struggle. And so our prayer today, as we honor and celebrate our moms on Mother's Day, is this, is that we'd find grace and comfort in the Word of God today as we look at the life of a mom in Scripture, as we look at Hannah's life and learn some valuable lessons from her to each one of us about walking with God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm letting you know, we're going to be introduced to a lady named Hannah. And Hannah, as we're going to see in chapter 1, it does not take long for us to learn that she is in a season of life where she's struggling. She's in a season of life where she's hurting and where things aren't going super well for her, and we're going to see how God brings her and carries her through this season. Look with me, 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 1, God's word says this. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuf, an Epaphrathite. Try to read that sentence fast. This man had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Look at the end of that verse. We see here that Hannah has no children. We also see that Hannah's husband has two wives. And so if you were reading through that this morning, if you saw it on the screen and you thought, wait a minute, something's not right here, I agree with you. Something is not right here. I want you to come back in a few weeks when we talk about godly marriages and godly relationships. But just know that caused a problem in her life and in her marriage. And at the end of verse 2, we see another problem that she's facing. The text points out that she has no children. And this was a hard life situation for her to walk through. This was an emotional thing for her to walk through. She did desire children. And someone, her husband's other wife, continued to stir that up in her home in a very unhealthy and cruel way. Look down at verse 6 and see what's going on in Hannah's life again. God's word says, and her, that's Hannah's rival, used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had chosen to close her womb. Listen, this was a major deal in Hannah's life. Absolutely, being without child for her took an emotional toll on her, took a spiritual toll on her. She was struggling, but there's cultural implications there as well. And that culture, very agriculture, right? The kids are needed to work in the fields. The kids are needed to work for the family. Oftentimes, a family with no kids, with few kids, resulted in poverty for that family. And not only for that family, you know, when the parents are younger, but as the parents or the people grew older, those without kids were in big trouble. The kids were the retirement plan back then. The kids would take care of the parents as they got older. Chelsea and I are sort of thinking that's our retirement plan a little bit. We were at the ball field for 12 hours yesterday. Happy birthday, babe. Or happy Mother's Day, babe. 12 hours yesterday. And so we've got three future MLB ball players as our retirement plan. We're counting on it. It's going to no pressure, guys. It's going to happen for us. It's probably not the best plan, right? We should do something else. But parents back then couldn't do anything else. There was no 401k. There was no retirement account. The kids were the plan. And so to be without what was a major issue for them, they'd find themselves in dire straits as they got older. But not only that, on top of this, we saw in verse 6 that her rival in the home would provoke her, would irritate her. Look at verse 6 if your Bible's open. I want to point something out to you because we miss the intensity of what's going on here when it's translated from Hebrew into English. The Hebrew word here that's used for provoking, it means to thunder or to roar. The imagery that God's word gives us is that of a storm. You'd use this word when you're talking about a hurricane. You'd use this word in the midst of a violent and severe weather situation, right? In fact, the only time that this word for provoke here is used in the Bible to describe anything but a storm, anything but a violent weather event is right here in this text. The picture that God's word is giving us is of Hannah, a woman in a major life storm, a woman in a major emotional and violent life storm. That's what she's walking through. That's what she's in the midst of when we meet her in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And as we think about being in the midst of an emotional storm, I really think that every single one of us in the room can relate to that. At one time or another, we have probably walked through an emotional storm. We have probably walked through a crisis in our personal life that we would describe as a storm, that we would describe as something violent, threatening, that is unnerving to each and every one of us. Some of us might be walking through that emotional storm right now for the exact same reason that Hannah was walking through it. Some of us might be walking through that emotional storm for another reason right now. But here's what I know. Even if you're not walking through a situation or a storm like that right now because of the world that we live in, there will be a time where you are walking through a storm in your life, where you are walking through something that is beating on your heart, that is beating on your mind, that is beating on your soul. That's where Hannah finds herself in the midst of this. And as we continue to read, I want to let you know up front, we're going to learn a valuable lesson about responding to those storms and thriving in our relationship with God as we walk through them. I want you to look down at verse 9. You've got an understanding of Hannah. You've got an understanding of her situation, of her life, of her culture. You've got a little bit of an understanding of the storm that she's walking in. Verse 9 becomes the turning point of her life. It says this, after they had eaten and drunk, so they go to a time of worship, they're at the temple, they have this big meal. Verse 9 says, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now listen, this is not Hannah standing up out of her chair after dinner, pushing it in and walking away. Again, the imagery that we have in the original translation is one of decisive action. It's not saying she stood up and she walked away. It's saying that her mind shifted in that point. That is the turning point of her life. She's making a decisive action, a decisive thought in the middle of her storm. She's making a choice here. Her mind has changed. Her heart has changed. Remember, she's in the middle of a storm, and she's decided right here, right now, in the midst of the storm, she's going to shift her focus away from the storm and put her eyes on God, right? She's been caught up in the storm. She's looking away from the storm and she's looking to God. I want you to think about in the Bible where someone else has taken their eyes, you know, from the storm to Jesus and back and forth. Can you think about that? Think about New Testament. Think about Peter. What does Peter do? He sees Jesus walking on water in the midst of a storm, and what does he want to do? He wants to walk on water with Jesus. It's an incredible show of faith that Peter has. He gets out of the boat and he starts to walk on water. And where his eyes go, where his mind goes, his life begins to go. When he's not looking to Jesus, what happens to him? He sinks in the midst of the storm. He finds himself in trouble. When he is looking to Jesus, what happens? That the storm does not go away. The storm is still there. But when he's looking to Jesus, he is safe, he is secure, and he's okay as he's carried through the storm. That's what happens with Hannah here. Hannah's focus goes off the storm into God. And it's important that we understand here that this is her turning point. Look at verse 11. She's up at the temple, and she begins to pray to God. She says, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me, and do not forget me, but give to me a son, then I will give him." I'm going to give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall touch his head. This is a vow of commitment that she's making in advance for a child God might bless her with. I want you to notice two things in her prayer. She asks God first and foremost to remember her. God, remember me. Remember your servant. God, do not forget me. Think about what that means. It's this statement of faith that she knows in her mind and in her heart that God cares about her, that God cares about her in the midst of her storm. Hannah believes and knows that God cares for the little people, that God cares for the hurting people, that God cares for the people that are walking through a storm who cannot seem to find their way out. And I 1,000% agree with her. That is what we see in the Word of God. When you pray in the midst of your storm, you can pray with boldness and confidence that God loves you, that God hears you, and that God is responding to you. But that's not all we see in her prayer. If you keep reading, she makes a promise to God. She promises God that if she is blessed with a son, she will give this son back to God in dedicated service to him. And as she prays, it is sincere. There is this real heartfelt moment that she shares with the Lord. She is not walking through the motions. She is praying with faith, and she's into it, right? She is passionate before God, so much so that the priest in the temple sees her praying passionately before God and walks up and accuses her of being drunk or out of her mind because she is so passionate in her prayer before God. Listen, Hannah did not care what anyone else saw, what anyone else thought. It was between her and God, and she was passionate before the Lord in that moment. And as she left the temple that day, having shifted her heart and shifting her focus off of her problem, off of her storm, and on to God, look at verse 18, if your Bible's still open. It says that her face was no longer sad. Something changed in her. Right, there's this joy that came over her. The sadness, the pain, the fear, the doubt, the depression, those things have left her. That's been lifted. Now understand, she did not have a son, or she did not have a child. But in that moment, she had peace. Would you think about that? From a place of sadness in the midst of a storm to all of that lifting, conditions didn't change, but the happiness, the joy, and the peace was there. Think about that. You know, when our kids were little and they would get sad, it was really easy to cheer them up. If you've had kids, think about that. No matter what's going on, that there's somebody sad, somebody's crying, somebody's frustrated, somebody's upset, if you wave an Oreo in front of a two-year-old's face, all the tears are gone, right? From uncontrollable sobbing and crying to a massive smile and crumbs all over their face, right? The shift is just like that. They've gotten older, had to step up a little bit. It's ice cream now, maybe not just an Oreo, right? But things shift. You can change emotions. You can change thoughts. You can change attitudes and things like that very quickly with children. But we know, as we've grown up, that life doesn't stay that simple. Right, that there's other things that grab our heart. There's other things that pull our attention. There's other things that get us down. The lesson that Hannah teaches us here is vital in our walks with God. She reminds us that our joy is not found in the things of this life. Our joy is found in God and in God alone. And the same is true for you. The same is true for me. If our hopes, if our dreams, if our aspirations, if we are looking towards the things of the world for any of those things, for that joy, even the amazing things, if we are looking even to the gifts of God for joy instead of to the giver of those gifts for our joy and our peace, we're going to find ourselves wanting. Hannah arose. Decisive action. Mind, eyes, heart, on God in the midst of the storm, and that's when things changed for her. She realized that her deepest needs were met in God. That's faith. That's trusting in the goodness and in the promises of God. And as we keep reading, look down at verse 20, we see that God gives Hannah a son. She names the son Samuel, which means God has heard. And when Samuel was old enough, she goes back to the temple. Look at verse 26. And as I read it, lowercase Lord, she's talking to the priest. Uppercase Lord in your Bible, she's referring to God, okay? And she said, O Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman that was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he has lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Just like she promised, Samuel is dedicated to a life of service before God in the temple. Hannah, she's got this commitment. Hannah was committed to her son growing up to love the Lord with all of his heart and to serve the Lord with all of his strength. God clearly instructs parents. We saw parents up here this morning committing to do that. God clearly instructs parents, moms, and dads to point their children to the love of God. Hannah has done that. She understands her spiritual purpose and plan as a mother. And as a result of that, God does something in Samuel's life. Look at chapter 2, verse 26. We get this incredible statement, something that I believe with all my heart every parent wants to hear about their kid. It says this in 2:26, now the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man. Hannah's focus as a mom is on her son knowing God, loving God. And it says that Samuel responded to that, grew in favor with both God and man. That same phrase is repeated one other place in the Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, talking about one other person in the Bible, and that's Jesus. Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and gained favor with both God and man. That's been, Chelsea and I, that's been our prayer for our kids from before the time they were born. For each one of them, we have prayed that over them, that they would grow in wisdom, that they would grow in stature, that they would gain favor before God, that they would gain favor before man. Parents, man, if you've got kids, I don't care how old they are, write it down, highlight that verse, make a note of it somewhere, put it somewhere in your home, and let that be an active prayer in your life, in your family, for your kids, for your grandkids, for your neighbor kids, for kids that you know in the church family, that they would grow in wisdom and stature, gain favor before God and man, that God would use them in a powerful, powerful way. God used Samuel in a powerful way because of Hannah's desire as a mother. As Samuel gets older, and we're not going to chase his life story down this morning, so I'll give you the cliff notes. As Samuel gets older, God uses him as a prophet before the people of Israel. Right? He speaks truth to the people of Israel in a time where they had not heard much from God. God uses Samuel to change the course of that nation. Samuel's the one that God uses to go and anoint kings. The first king of Israel, Saul. The second king of Israel, David. God sent Samuel to go make this a reality in the life of his people. And then Samuel walks with David, encourages David, keeps David's heart close to God as they walk through this. Listen, it all started for Samuel with his mother loving God and teaching him to do the same. Hannah had this major impact on the life of her kid and on the kingdom of God because her heart was in the right place, and she worked to ensure that her son's heart was in the right place as well. And so for us as a church family, as we begin to wrap up, as we think about cultivating that relationship with our mom, with the moms in our life, the moms in our church family, I want to pay attention to three lessons that Hannah gives us in her life. And the first is this. We just see that prayer is critically important. We need to be praying people with our hearts focused on God. She was a woman of prayer in the midst of her storm when she lacked happiness, she lacked purpose, she lacked joy. her turning point was not the son that God gave her. Her turning point was when she turned her heart to God. Let's learn from this, Mama, be people of prayer. If you're in a storm right now, take your eyes off of the storm and put them on Jesus. Begin to be a person of prayer. If you're in a season of peace and joy and hope and love right now, keep your eyes on Jesus and be a person of prayer. In the context of Mother's Day, if you want to grow in your relationship with your mom, if you want to grow in your relationship with your kids, pray together. Right? Pray together in your home. Let it be the pattern of your life. I love hearing Chelsea pray with the kids at night. Sometimes I'll stand outside the door and I'll just listen to those prayer times as they go. You never know what's going to be prayed for when you hear kids praying at birds, plants, air, baseballs, trampolines, whatever. Sometimes the prayer ends with the end instead of amen. It doesn't matter, right? That they're getting their hearts in tune, like to talk to God, that they're learning to be people of prayer. It grows the relationship between mom and kids. Pray with your kids. Listen, if you're out of your mom's house, moms, if the kids are out of your house, pray for them, right? Pray for them from afar. It will strengthen your relationship. Ask what's going on in one another's lives and be people of prayer. Pray for one another and the relationship will grow. And this morning, if you're in here and you've lost your mom, maybe you don't have a relationship with mom, I want to encourage you. You saw this morning up here, but there's so much more than just the families that were on stage this morning. There are a lot of moms in our church family that would desire more than anything you to come alongside them and pray for them. You to come alongside them and pray with them as they seek to raise their kids to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's moms in here that do not have that in their life. Be that mom to them. Come alongside them and pray with them like that. Cheryl's on our team. You know her. She's in our adult discipleship area. And many of you know her story. Cheryl lost her mom when she was younger to cancer. And so Cheryl's there. She's helping to raise her younger brothers and sisters. And as we talked about this passage this week, Cheryl said, listen, there were a lot of moms older than me that came alongside me and loved me and prayed for me and supported me. And as Cheryl's gotten older and has kids of her own now, those moms are like grandmas to her kids, right? Loving on her and investing in her and pouring into them because she didn't have that mom those years of her life. Listen, there are a lot of people in our church where you can come alongside and pray with them and for them in a powerful, powerful way. The point is this, right? We saw from Hannah, prayer matters. Let's pray with one another, for one another. Don't miss the moments, and don't miss the second lesson from Hannah as well. Hannah lived her life on purpose. This Mother's Day, moms, and all of us, we need to remember that our lives have purpose, right? Above all things, we are called to love God with everything that we've got. We saw it in Deuteronomy 2 or 5 in our parent commitment, and we see it here as well. Hannah's life reminds us that we are called to love God. Jesus said it in Matthew 22. He says, you want to get this life right? Love me with all you got. You want to get this thing right? You want to do what I've called you to do? And you want to find your purpose in this life? Love God with everything that you have. Hannah does that. When her son is born, she understands that her purpose as a mother was to point him to God above all else. She understood that's what God had called her to do. Moms, thank you for doing it. Dads, thank you for doing it. Let's continue to live with purpose, pointing our kids to Jesus above all things, no matter what phase of life you find yourself in. If they're little, pray for them, pray with them, sing to them, talk about God's goodness, let them see it, walk it out in you. If they're out of your house, continue to point them to God with relationship, with love, with priorities. Let them experience the love of God through you. Help your kids understand that this purpose trumps everything. It trumps homework. It trumps college prep. It trumps sports. It trumps extracurricular. It trumps everything else. Everything else falls in line behind loving God. And listen, if those other things begin to trump or to jump ahead of that purpose here, those great things have become idols. And they are stealing our hearts away from what God has called us to do. There's this research thing that came out from the Barna Group. If you've never gotten on their website, it's fascinating. I encourage you to check it out. They do a lot of spiritual surveys and research in the United States. And the Barna Group released something last month. This is real, live, active information. And one of the questions posed to parents was, how important, how much of a priority is your child's spiritual development? Is your child's spiritual development. Now, we saw from the Word of God that that is our purpose as parents, right? There's spiritual development. 42% of Christians said it is a priority in their home. Let that sink in for a minute. 42% of people that say they're followers of Jesus said it is a priority in our home for our kids to know and love God with all their heart, soul, and strength. 38% said we think about it sometimes. 20% said, no, not at all. I think that's 100. Somebody check my math. 42, 38, 20. Why does that happen? How does that happen? It's not at all what we see in the Word of God. That's not at all what God has called us to. Moms, we know. Dads, we know. Kids, we know as we grow up. Man, our purpose is to love God with our heart, soul, and strength. I'll tell you how this happens. I'll tell you why parents respond the way they respond. It's because other things have stolen their heart. Our heart's going to rest on something. Our heart's going to focus on something. Your kids' hearts are going to rest on something. Your kids' hearts are going to focus on something. God has called us to Himself, to love Him above all things, even the good things in this world. Let's live on purpose, teaching our kids to love God. Moms, do it. If you've had a great mom that's done it, text them today, call them today, thank them for pointing you to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then finally with Hannah, where we see this. Hannah lives a life of praise before God. That's all of chapter 2. If you look in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, it's this long prayer, praising God, thanking God for the things that He has done in her life. Right, moms, praise with your kids, worship with your kids, celebrate the good gifts of God with your kids. Let your kids see, know, and understand what God has done in your life. Don't hide it for them. Let them know what God is doing in your family so they can grow up worshiping God as well. Hannah teaches us here that worship is not about us. It's not about our things. That worship is about God. Hannah came to that realization, and because of that, her son grew up loving God and praising God with all that he had as well. Listen, Hannah's life, it was not easy. She faced a lot of storms, a lot of battles, and a lot of struggles. But as she kept her mind on God, she taught us those three very important lessons. Pray, let your heart be focused on God. Let that be the turning point. Take decisive action to get our minds on Jesus above all things. She showed us our purpose to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And she showed us that in the midst of anything, we can and should praise God. And moms, you're here this morning. We're thankful that God uses you, just like Hannah, to teach us those lessons today and every day. Thankful for my mom that taught me these lessons growing up. I'm thankful for Chelsea that teaches these now to our kids as they grow up. And listen, I'm thankful for a church family. I really mean that when I say that. That's how God designed this thing. I'm thankful for a church family where we can pour into and invest in one another and our kids as we continue to seek in God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our families to do the same. Would you pray with me? This morning, as we bow our heads and pray, I just want to ask you to think about the Word of God. And first and foremost today, I just want to say that man, if you saw and understood this morning that our purpose is to love God with all that we've got, and you would say, you know what, I'm just here because my mom's making me be here. My mom has invited me here this morning. If you're being the good kid to be here with mom, listen, God's got you here for a reason. And it's very, very possible that you would know and understand how much God loves you today, that God is with you today, and that God desires that you would be in a relationship with Him. So today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to trust God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Get that relationship with God right this morning. Take decisive action like Hannah did and commit your life to Him. Don't leave here today without getting that right. If you think, listen, I've got to take mom to lunch, I promise you, mom will wait. She'd love to wait for you to get that right with God. If you're walking in the midst of a storm right now, and I know many of us are. I know that many of us are. I want to encourage you today. Hannah's turning point was when the eyes and the focus and the attention left the storm and rested on God. Just capture those thoughts right now and pray. God, help me to focus on you. God, help my eyes to rest on you. God, let my life be about you. Maybe this morning you'd say, I need to follow the Lord in baptism. If that's the case, let's take care of that today. And then last, just as in this moment of prayer, say, God, help me to live on purpose, with purpose. Eyes, heart, mind focused on you and loving you with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, Jesus said if we can get that, if we can get that right, everything else falls into place in our life. That's why when those parents were up here this morning, that's the verse we went to. That's the verse we prayed over them, because Jesus said, get that first. Everything else begins to fall in line. Pray right now, God, help me to live on purpose. So with your head bowed this morning, if God is stirring in you, if you know you need to pray with someone today about trusting him, if you need to pray with someone about baptism this morning, if you need to pray with someone because you are in the midst of a storm, let me just tell you, right, that when someone speaks truth, prays over you, it matters. It is a difference maker. Whatever might be going on in your life, if you need to pray, at the end of our service, we've got our connection room open. It's in the back of our worship center on the left-hand side. We've got people there, and that their job is to pray with you and for you. They want to connect with you and know you. And every Sunday, people stop in, and we have the privilege of praying with them. Don't leave here today. Couple, mom, dad, kid, whoever you are, step in there and pray if God's stirring in your heart. Father, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your word. And God, I pray this morning, God, that we would be people that respond to your word. I pray that we take these lessons from a great mom in the word of God, that we would use them to grow in our relationship with you and to grow in our relationship with our moms. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.